If you can't, that's fine. Now I want you to lift your hands up. And I want you to take a minute just to praise God and praise Jesus. This should be the highlight of your week. We come here to praise Him. We come here to be in His presence, in His house. He speaks to us all the week. We pray to Him. And we listen to Him. But today should be the highlight of your week. Today should be the day that you start your week out just in praise to Him. Because He is our Father. Because He pours His love out upon us. And we need to be awake when we're here today. And we need to have a praiseful attitude. A thankful attitude of what He has. The things that He has given us. And the happiness that He pours out upon us. You may be seated. And I want to talk about happiness today. I think if you talk to anyone out on the street, anyone in your family, what do you truly seek this year? It'll be happiness. It'll be contentment. But of course, how we find that is up to the individual. In Matthew 5, 3 through 12, the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you." So we start this year. I want you to take this when you get home. And I want you to type it out, write it out, whatever you want to do. And I want you to put it on your refrigerator. Right next to the kids' pictures or the calendar, whatever you have on your refrigerator. And I want you to highlight it, darken it, do it in red, whatever it takes. But I want you to read this every day. This is God's roadmap to happiness in our life. These are the things that we're going to be blessed for. These are the ideals that we should maintain in our lives. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, the meek, the merciful, pure in heart. God lays it all out right there for us in these few verses. You see, the Bible only has one message, and it's repeated over and over again. It's like the old preacher said, first I tell him what I'm going to say, and then I tell him, and then I tell him what I just told him. See, repetition helps us remember. So if you see these every morning and you take the time and you read these every morning, you've got the roadmap for that day. You've got the things that God wants you to do. The message of the Bible is told to us in a variety of ways. There's the history of the nations, the personal stories of the men and the women from the Bible. There's poetry, there's parables, there's pictures, illustrations, anything to bring the truth home to us. And I want that to become part of our life every day. It's all summed up. There's only one thing. And that's humanity's relationship to God our Father, God our Creator. It's about what God has done for us, and it's about our salvation. It teaches a definite philosophy on life, a philosophy of how we view things. We can either accept or reject the Word of God. We can either accept or reject Jesus Christ. We make a choice every day whether we're going to live that day out according to God's word or we're going to live that day out according to Satan's word. But we can't follow both. There are many prescriptions for this utopia that people want to find, this happiness and this well-being. For Christians, happiness should be one thing, and that's a relationship with our Father, with God our Father. You know, you look at the world and their idea of happiness includes power and riches. The things that they do for them to be glorified. As Christians, the only glory that we should worry about is the glory that we give to God. There's so many routes that we can take in this life, and all but one ends in rejection, confusion, and loss. Shakespeare said in one of his plays, he said, "What is life? It is nothing but a tale told by an idiot, a sound of fury, signifying nothing." Well, that's the world's view of life. As Christians, we should know better. We should know that there is power and grace that comes from above. You know, I like to read history. I like to read about the great leaders. But it's surprising how many of them, in their quest for power and domination, their lives ended in tragedy and ruin. They may have grasped it for a while, but it slips away unless they were focused in the right place. I want to look at Psalms 1:1-6. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of righteousness. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." In just a few words here, the psalmist describes a picture for us. And I don't know about you, but when I read, especially the Bible, I see pictures. I try to vision what the writer is trying to tell me. I try to see what he's trying to point out. And there's two pictures here contrasting each other. The first is of a happy and blessed man, and the second is of a man whose life ends in dismal failure. He puts it like this: you're confronted with two alternatives, and only two. There's the way of God and the way of Satan. You know how much we try to blur things together. It truly is black and white in the light of a Christian. You're either serving God or you're serving Satan. There's no middle ground. You can't straddle the fence on this one. There's a good man, a godly man in this story, a righteous man and a wicked man. Right way, a wrong way, a positive and a negative. The strange thing, though, as I thought about this week and I prayed about it this week, if you seek happiness to justify an end, you'll never find it. You can't seek out happiness. It's like trying to catch a soap bubble. As soon as you touch it, it bursts. So if we don't seek out happiness, what do we seek? We seek God, because God supplies that happiness. He pours it back on us when we're obedient, when we're following Him. So first is our relationship with God. That should be first and foremost in your life this year and every year after. And the second depends on who we really are, not what we appear to be. You see, God doesn't look out the outside. He sees you from the inside. And that's the way a Christian life should be developed. Not from the outside in, but the inside out, as God works in our lives and He leads us. And it's funny here, because the writer starts out with a negative as he looks at life, as he contrasts these two people, these two ways of life, I should say. He said, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." I believe the Bible is a realistic book. I believe the world outside of these walls is laid out for us in the Bible. It starts with the world as it is, as we read. And we have to face the fact that we're sinners before God. And the Bible doesn't pull any punches. It tells us exactly who we are. And this forbidden path is the counsel of the ungodly. The whole outlook of this world. You know, we choose who we want to listen to. You can choose to listen to me, but then you need to hold me accountable for what I say. We can listen to our bosses at work. We can listen to our teachers at school. But we have to weigh everything that we listen to against the Word of God and make sure it's correct and it's right and it lifts up God. It says that the person who's after real happiness, he says, will not stand in the path of sinners. You see, we choose the way of the world, we can't find lasting happiness. We can enjoy its false pleasures for a moment. You know, I was guilty of this in my life, trying to grab a hold of these pleasures in life, the things that I thought were important, the things that I chose to enjoy, but they all pass away. Did you go ever out and buy a new car or anything that you thought that was something that you really wanted? Oh, it was glorious there for a while. But then all of a sudden the luster starts to fade. And maybe that money that you spent on that car wasn't so wisely spent. Or that furniture or that boat or your upgraded house. Whatever it is, you may find pleasure for a moment. You may think you found happiness with that new possession, that new dwelling, but it's only fleeting. It escapes and it just fades away like the mist in the morning. Then reality sets in. See, Christians, we're not exempt from temptation, from anything else the world throws at us. We're just as liable as anybody else. Just as likely to fall under Satan's grasp if we don't renew our love, our conviction for God daily. It's a hard world out there. I like to believe in my house. I kid Robin sometimes at the end of the day when we lock the house up. I say the castle's locked up for the night. Nothing can get in. Locks doesn't keep Satan out. He enters your mind. He enters your homes, and you need to build against that. And then he says there are those who sit in the seats of the scornful. This one really bothers me. These are the people that laugh at religion, that make jokes and mock the Christians. You cannot turn on the TV today or any of the news outlets that you don't hear Christians being ridiculed. We're called haters because we stand on the Word of God. They say we're out of touch with reality. But I say they're out of touch with the Word of God. And they're out of touch with the world ought to be. It seems like every comedian on TV has their own little set of Christian jokes where they mock us and ridicule us and try to drag us down. They talk about bullies in this world. They're bullies against Christians, but they don't see it. It seems there's a downward progression in this psalm. The ungodly, first he says they're walking with the wicked. Then they become more identified with them. He says they're standing with the sinners. Now they're totally involved. He says they're sitting with the scoffers. You know, I can only look back on my life for examples. The place that I worked. And there's a decision to be made every day at the power plant. Who you're going to stand with. Who you're going to joke with. I'm no prude. And some jokes are funny. But to stand there in agreement as they tear down Christians and a Christian lifestyle is standing with the ungodly. It's standing with the sinners. And it's sitting with those that scoff us. This is a picture, I think, that's increasingly gripping this world and this country. And even our churches, as they bow to the pressure. I was saddened when I read that one of the churches is now allowing gay pastors. I can't understand how they can justify that with the word of God, but I'm not up here to run down any religions. I'm up here to say that we have a Bible, and that Bible teaches us right from wrong, and we don't need to stand with the sinners and those that scoff our religion. Jesus himself said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." What a list. We read this every day in the newspapers. We hear it every day. And Christians, you think you're exempt from this? He didn't say this comes from the world. It's for Christians too, if we're not on our guard. Because the heart is evil. Psalms isn't finished yet. He goes on to say the ungodly are like the chaff that the wind blows away. See, he uses an illustration to the people of that day they could all identify with. The difference between the godly, the Christians, and the ungodly, the world. Then there's a picture of a tree beside the side of a river. I want to ask you today, do you resemble the tree or a pile of chaff? You know, I was raised around farms. I understand exactly what he's saying. And like I said, when I read these things, I like to see a picture. And I know my uncle's barn, if we opened the barn doors down on the lower side, the wind would blow through that old rickety barn, and the chaff and the dust would blow out of the hay mow. Sometimes so thick that you couldn't hardly see. Just worthless. There's nothing to it. Acts 17:21, it said, "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing." You know, it doesn't matter what era you look in history, there's always some new thing coming up. And he was talking about these people that sat around doing nothing but talking about the next new thing. And it doesn't matter if it was Eastern mysticism or the New Age religion that's swirling around here today. And the blending of Christianity and voodoo, the things that are happening, it's nothing new. Nothing's changed over the years. Men's hearts haven't changed because we're not listening to God. You see, when I see this picture of the tree rooted beside the stream in a pile of chaff, I understand that chaff is nothing. It's waste. There's no good use for it, and it's dead and blown away. But then you have a tree that's full of life. Set next to a river. Rivers are the center of fertility for the fields. You know, around here we talk about bottom land, how it's worth so much more than the hillside because it's richer and it grows. And here's a tree planted in the bottom land, drawing its water from the richness of the river. This world has made a lot of progress in technology and information. We laugh at my parents that they struggle to use their VCR, and they have an iPad that all they know how to do with is take pictures. But their great-grandchild can come in and take that iPad and play all kinds of games on it. They can use their TV. They can find how to make the VCR work. So we've come a long way. Knowledge has increased by leaps and bounds. But where are we as Christians? Why haven't we grown in the strength of the Lord? Why haven't we grown in our beliefs and our abilities to reach out to Him in prayer? Think of all kinds of doodads you can get off TV now. The Bible's read to you. It's got music in it. I get all kinds of programs on my computer to help me study that ties all my resources in together. But you know what? That's worthless. It's worthless unless I weigh everything through the Word of God, unless I study after I've prayed, after I tell God to open that Word up to me and reveal to me what you want me to know. I've always said the Bible changes. Well, the Bible doesn't change. It's God revealing new things to me, new understanding. The Bible is a living, breathing book. And we need to be in it every day. It doesn't get stale like reading encyclopedias or whatever books you happen to like. It's a living, breathing thing because it's the Word of God. I see that tree planted by the river. It gives me an idea that that tree was planted with a purpose. Trees can't plant themselves. Yeah, they can shed their seeds and those go to root, but a tree cannot be planted by itself. And I believe that's God. That's God's Word telling us that it was planted by Him. And it's by Him that that tree is going to grow. And it's by Him that that tree is going to be fruitful and produce fruit. It's our security. It's what the Bible promises. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Jesus told His followers, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." That tells me I have a promise of God of happiness. How can you live a full life without happiness? It can't happen. And it's not fleeting. It's permanent. Planted by streams of water. Doesn't that bring you happiness? Doesn't that make you understand God's provision for you? He didn't plant you out in the desert where you have to search for water, where you have to struggle to live. Each one of us here today, everyone that accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior has been planted by a river of living water. But it takes a choice on your part. Are you going to be nourished, nurtured, or are you going to turn away and turn back to the world? My question today is, are we rejoicing in this new life in Christ? Planted by streams, are we drawing on His strength? You see, the trouble with chaff is it's blown away. There's no strength. There's no roots. Where a tree is permanent. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be restored in His Spirit. To look forward to the day when we can be with Him. In Colossians 1:10 it says, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So what is fruit? We're told we have to be fruitful. What's easy to find in the Bible? Galatians, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I believe every Christian, you should start to see these traits emerging. They should just appear in you as you grow in knowledge and strength of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is intended to affect all that we do and all that we say. I think that These fruits of the Spirit are a necessity, or is a contradiction in terms? How can you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and there not be a change in your life? And if that happens, I think maybe you need to go back and look at your relationship with God over again. I truly feel that there are some people who accept Christ young, at a young time in their life, and they don't fully understand what they're saying, what they're getting into. Don't be too proud to go back and re-examine your life and say, is Christ truly driving me forward? Or did I just say those words to make my pastor happy or my parents happy? Or because my Sunday school class did it? There needs to be fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not up here to judge you, judge fruit. I'm just saying you need to examine yourselves and move forward. The psalmist tells us that true happiness is a daily experience, daily and nightly, in your life with the Lord. So is trying to obtain this true happiness all that necessary? Should that be the focus of our life? You know, it sounds kind of like we're all wrapped up in ourselves if we're seeking this true happiness. But it's not. Because true happiness comes from your service, from exercising the fruits of the Spirit. And I believe that it's only through true happiness that you can face the last enemy. You see, we're just travelers here on this world. At some point in time, we're all going to go before the Lord. We're all going to give an account of our life. And I know that when I go to see Him, I want to be prepared. I want this happiness that carries me forward, that allows me to go and to meet my Maker, my Father, the God that I love. I want to know that I exercised all that He had given me, that I understand the happiness that He wants us to have. I don't believe a miserable Christian can reach out and help anyone else. They have to see the light of Christ in you. And I don't think it's a choice that God gives us. He desires for us to have that happiness, to have that light, that life worthy of Him. But as humans, we have to make a choice. And you're going to make it every day when you get out of bed. Am I going to be the light of Christ today? Or am I going to live a life that Satan wants? We can move forward or we can backslide. And hopefully it's the love of Christ and that desire for the happiness that comes from Him that drives us forward. A Christian, a godly person, trusts in nothing but his salvation through Christ. And I've known a lot of people in my life, a lot of people that held a position of authority over me, that the only thing that drove them was power and money. Where the next raise was going to come from, where the next new title could come from. And they climbed the ladder on the backs of the men they worked for. They always thought that happiness was going to be there in the next raise, but it never was. The happiness comes from your relationship with Christ. And the choice is ours. And you're going to make a choice one way or the other. You'll consciously choose Christ, or you'll choose the ways of Satan. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just come here and I praise You and I lift You up. Father, this is Your house. You don't have to be invited in. But Father, I just ask that You would pour out Your blessings on this group of believers, Father. That You would pour out Your wisdom for each and every one here, Father. And our eyes would be open to Your ways, to Your love, and to Your path. Father, I ask You to protect us from the evil one, Satan, as he tries to influence our decisions. I pray that every morning we look at the blessings that you give us, at the scriptures that I gave out this morning, Father. I just ask that every morning we be renewed in our love for you. We be renewed in the knowledge that you are with us, that the power of the Spirit can guide us. Father, I pray that each of us here will have a divine appointment, that each of us here will come across someone that needs you each day, and that we could be that light of Christ. And Father, that you give us the words that need to be said, that our lives will be examples of what you have to offer. And Father, I just pray that you will make us effective. I pray for this church, Father, that you would give us each that one purpose, that one idea, that would be unified to accomplish that. And as we accomplish that task, we would move forward in your name, sharing the blessings of Christ with this dark world. Father, I just glorify you and I lift you up. Words are not enough to express our love for you or your love for us. It escapes me, but Father, I just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.